This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan, Josh Roundtree, has just left the building. So I'm in it, and so is Nathan Aluschak. And we are here taking your phone calls. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. You know Fan Twitter. You've done it before. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. And check out what's all going on down there at the auto show. You know, they have 19 different dealerships. They all sorts of inventory. Plus, they buy cars as well. So you can sell yours to them. Check out Number One Cochran. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, Shenderovich, and Fishman, where they got your back, not your wallet, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about at Iron Rock Tap House. 412-928-9370 is the number, as I said. This is Jaromir Jagr weekend, and a lot of people are excited to have number 68 back in the building, and rightfully the jersey to be going up into the rafters. It will be a very, very good ceremony, and people who watch Jagr know just how electric this dude was. And people who didn't, you know, I've run into a lot of younger people who try to read about him and, you know, catch up on him, but it's not the same. But you got to watch video, number one, and you have to understand just how good of a down low player he was. Normally when we're talking about legends who, you know, are five-time Art Ross Trophy winners, you're talking about snipers, which he was, but Jagr's, to me, difference-making ability came down low. He was able to do things with a puck that not many people can do. You know, just like Sidney Crosby does now, only at, a better level in terms of how he possesses the puck when he gets it. And Lemieux had the same qualities, but Jagr was just like a bull. He had that lower base, which was unbelievable. Just hard to get off the puck. And, you know, there were so many stories about Jagr, how he got here, Craig Patrick, all the wheeling and dealing he had to do with the draft to be sure that if they took him, he would come here. Craig tells a story that, well, they didn't know because so many other teams passed on him. Yeah, I think he went fifth overall that year, and he was telling people he wasn't going to come over. And back then, it's difficult to get them over here with all the visa issues and everything else. And so they had to do some wheeling and dealing, end up going through, I think, Hamilton, Ontario, and to get in here, and just got him to Pittsburgh. And when he got to Pittsburgh, the rest is history. He fit in with a very talented team. I would say, you know, that team of the early 90s with him in it, and Lemieux and Francis and Coffey, and you go on and on and on, and the Edmonton team of 84 with all their amazing talent, two of the greatest rosters that you'll ever find in professional hockey. But Jagr is here, so tomorrow will be a big day, the 6 o'clock faceoff. And let's not forget about how important the game is, too, because the Penguins find themselves in a situation after losing Jake Guentzel, which was a big development this week. What in the world do they do to try to dig out? They got a nice win the other night, but it wasn't exactly impressive. I wouldn't use that word because Chicago's not a good team, although Connor Bedard came back into their lineup after missing several weeks with a fractured face. That's what happens when you're 18 and you go to places with, you know, grown men are trying to take you down and you're kind of still frail based on hockey standards. But he was back, and you can tell, you know, just how special that kid is, the talents he has, how he shoots the puck, where he shoots the puck from, how he releases. But anyway, the Penguins got a 4-1 win. It was important for them to get, without a doubt. They needed it. And now they find themselves still out of the playoff picture, and games are dwindling down, which is why I think it's very important for them to win tomorrow night and start stacking these wins. Now, they're going to do it without Guentzel, which leads to another problem. What do you do with Jake Guentzel if you're Kyle Dubas? He's going to be out until after the trade deadline. The trade deadline, I think, is 2 days before he's eligible to return. He's still a 40-goal scorer. You know, he's one of the snipers. So you're trying to win now on a team that's been challenged to score goals all season long with your best goal scorer not in the lineup. How much could you get? No, he's on an expiring contract. What would be a return that would make you interested if you were the Penguins? Or if you're Kyle Dubas, you say, you know what, I'm just going to bring them all back next year. We're going to go through this again. Because this window, they believe, and they believe this when they signed everyone to extensions, that it was still available to them. You know, and when they play the right way, and when you see them playing defensively the way they're playing, you would think this team would do really well, but their offense has betrayed them. So what do? You just stand pat, sign him, try the best. You're going to save some money off the cap. The cap's going up. What do you do with Jake Guentzel at 412-928-9370? I also want to get into a few other topics, including Jimmy G. He is going to be released by the Raiders after he is going to be suspended for the first two games of next year for violating PEDs. Would there be any interest in Jimmy G as a backup? And Nathan's shaking his head feverishly. I'm just saying, because we've thrown out just about every name there is to throw out there. In radio talk this week, the Steeler quarterback room has about 30 people in it. So why not add another? I'm just asking. 412-928-9370. But they got issues. To me, the best thing for them to do is sign Rudolph, bring him back, and see what they can do, and then bring in a veteran, somebody. I do not think there is going to be a trade of anything to get a Justin Fields. I'm intrigued by his talent, but I just don't. It would compromise everything they're doing with Pickett. It would basically mean that Fields has to come in here and be the starter. You wouldn't acquire him to be the backup. It wouldn't make sense. 412-928-9370. Also, Henry Davis. What's going on with Henry Davis? Jason Mackey's done a lot of reporting down there. A lot of other reporters have too, and it seems up in the air. He's not even listed on. I was looking at their depth chart yesterday, and I was surprised that Henry Davis is not listed as a catcher. But they say he's going to catch. This is after Andy Rodriguez is out for the year. They bring in Yasmani Grandel, which makes you think they're not going to make him a catcher. I don't know what to think of Henry Davis and what to make of the fact he was a number one overall pick of the Pirates. 412-928-9370. We got Pitt later today. They're 6-1 in their last seven. Big game coming up. They beat number 9 Duke. They beat number 21 Virginia. They have an unranked team, only 3-11 Louisville tonight at the Pete. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. Let's get to the lines. Shall we, Nate the Great? We'll begin with Will and Apollo. Will, you're first up. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, thank you. How's it going?
It's good.
I got some comments, and honestly, I want to know your opinion about the quarterback situation. I don't think we should trade for Justin Fields. I just think it would be a bad fit, in my opinion. I think we should keep everything the way it is. I think we know the Steelers, they're pretty sold on Kenny Pickett right now. So instead of trading and doing all this other stuff, I think we should just take Jordan Travis. I know he had a bad injury, but I think he can still play. I think he's still a really good quarterback, and I'm curious what you think about Jordan Travis.
Well,
and how he fits.
How is that leg recovering? Ever since he got injured at Florida State, I saw him. It looked like it was a pretty significant injury. So number one question for me would be, how is he? And I don't know an answer to that yet. At the combine and all the information comes out after that, you'll get a better idea. But I do agree, Will, with your first statement that I don't think, you know, they made it clear that they still believe. Now, do they have the same intense belief that they did this time a year ago? No. So you're 2 years removed now after Ben Roethlisberger, and you still have questions about your quarterback position, which is not uncommon for NFL teams looking to find a successor to a really good quarterback.
Right.
But they thought they had something better with Pickett, and now I still think they don't know, which is why they understand this is a huge year for him. If you bring in somebody like Justin Fields, and again, I said before, I wouldn't be against it if the price was right. I'd like to, you know, just because I think his talent level is intriguing. He has to protect the ball better. But you don't bring him in here to be a backup, do you? Because number one, if you did, you wouldn't know anything more about him than you do right now, and you owe him an option if you want to keep him. And if you trade for him, I would imagine you're going to pick up his option.
Well, yeah, and also if you trade for him, you're going to be giving up quite a bit for him. So it would make no sense not to at least put him at that number one position to start training camp.
Right. So that's why I don't think that scenario will play out, although I don't know. I mean, they're going to make a lot of different things. I think a lot of this is predicated on what happens with Rudolph. If he decides to sign here, because they will make him an offer. They will make him an offer sometime here before he hits the free agent market. That doesn't mean he hasn't had contact with people outside of the Steeler organization, because I think that's a loosey-goosey rule. But I think he will get an offer. If he likes the offer, he may stay. I think he needs, as part of the offer, a commitment that he will be given a fair chance to start. And if that happens,
yeah, it's like one of those things. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Does he really trust that the Steelers are going to give him a fair chance?
Well, that's again to me. That's going to be the $64,000 question. Well, I don't know, and it's up to him to make that. But he may look around and find that there's not really a better situation for him, regardless of what the promise is. So, you know, and if the money's good, take it. We'll see. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Will. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Anthony, who joins us in North Huntington. Anthony, welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show. How are you today?
Hey, Bob. It's a pleasure to meet you. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I just wanted to give a younger fan's perspective on Jahmyr Yager. I'm a senior in high school, and Jahmyr Yager was somebody that...
You sound like you're already in the radio business, Anthony.
Well, thank you.
You do.
I appreciate that. That's the goal. But I'd like to say that Jahmyr Yager was someone we looked up to before the Malkin and Lemieux Letang era. Such a great phenom, and all we can look back at is highlights as Younger's fans, but man, he really was incredible. So, you know, it's great to honor him in Pittsburgh. I wanted to say that also tonight is the 300th game at the Pete, and tickets are just $20.02 if you go on right now. Pitt's having a deal for that. Baseline tickets, $20.02, 300th at the Pete tonight against Louisville. And I'm excited to see what are kind of the possibilities, because Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy who, you know, I don't know if we should pick him up. I really don't. I would rather have a guy like Fields. Jordan Travis, he just had a Pro Football Talk interview about him today. Actually, just dropped about 5 hours ago. And he looks to be recovering well. Should be ready by minicamp. So we'll see. But thank you for taking my call, Bob.
Yeah, no problem about it. Thank you, Anthony. Pitts, that's a big game for them. They got to beat Louisville. And you said it's the 300th at Pete. That'll come your way tonight. Right here on 93.7, The Fan. Harry in Westview joins us right now. Harry, welcome to the program. We'll go right ahead.
Thanks, Pomp. I got to follow up that guy. I'm just a guy with a voice that, like, sits next to you at the bar.
Well, we like those bar chats. They're pretty productive most of the time.
Hey, don't you think they dropped the ball on Gensel? I mean, they took the risk this whole time of him not getting injured, and he's a smaller guy. They're putting the personalities ahead of the principles here. They're always worried about what Crosby thinks, and I believe so. I mean, that's the only reason I could see them hanging on to him this long.
Well, I think it's mostly money right now that's the big stumbling block. I think he wants to stay here, but he also wants to cash in on his free agent possibilities.
And he'll is he worth it?
If you look at it for pure goal production, yeah, I think he is. Look at his playoff numbers. He averages a point a game, I think 58 and 58 playoff games. He's a big-time producer.
How does he compare to Rust as far as styles go and as far as durability?
I mean, Rust is more of, to me, a third-line guy if you're at a team that has a lot of talent. And I like Brian Rust. I think the mistake was giving Rickard Rakell the money. I think if they were really looking into this a while ago, they could have done Gensel ahead of time. And they probably would have got off cheaper before any of these other deals start coming out, like what you saw in Toronto, they're guys who've gotten $10 and $11 million, and when they do that, you know, Nylander, is he worth 11? Well, to Toronto he is, but that changes the market. If you had preempted that signing with a Gensel signing, you might have been able to get him for $7 million or $7.5 million a year. So now they're stuck, and now they have to make a choice. So therefore, we are where we are. What would you do?
I think they want to keep him, and I think I would keep him. I'm not worried about him breaking down as much as other people are. I kind of think he keeps himself in shape. He's smart enough to play hockey and manage his body right. So I would keep him. I don't think you find many guys like him.
No, I think he's 29. He still can play for another 5 to 7 years, I think, at a pretty high rate, especially if Crosby wants to play that long. And so
he's got a lot of skills in a lot of different areas, and you don't find guys like that.
No, and again, he has on the resume 240 goals and a lot of 30 goals. I mean, the guy, you know, he was on pace this year for about 35 again. You're not going to find many better snipers than him. And that's why I think
the value would have been higher.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, again, they are where they are. It's going to be very fascinating what Kyle Dubas does here, because some of his other deals have not necessarily panned out, which is one of the reasons why they are where they are. Thanks, Harry, for the call. Appreciate it. At 412-928-9370, we move right along. We have Phil in Pittsburgh. Hello, Phil. How are you?
Bob, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing, Phil?
I'm okay. You know, the other day I turned on the radio and I just couldn't believe that Ron Cook's gone and he's retiring. And I said to myself, I said, who do we really have now? You know, old timers that know everybody. It's you. It's you.
I'm an old timer. You're right about that. I try to know a lot of people.
You're not that old.
But Ron made a smart life decision for himself. I mean, he wanted to enjoy time without deadlines in his life. He's operated that way. I think anyone who's in this business knows that. There's a lot of pressure and stress that comes with that. And your everything changes. Your eating habits even change because you're on a deadline. You're always eating fast. You're running, you know, it's not the most healthy way to live. I think he wanted to concentrate on himself.
Well, I mean, just listening to the people that loved him, you know, the Beaver Connie greats, and like even the people throughout the United States in the sports industry. I mean, the guy, he's a legend. And I thought that was a really nice send off. And you're like our next, I would call you,
you don't have to call me anything.
I can't call you
Elvis. We can leave it at that. But anyway, thanks for the call, man. I'll give Ron your response that you're missing him. He's down there, I'm sure. What time is it? 11:18. He's getting ready to pop one. Anyway, Matt from the Pitt Panthers and the PR department wanted to correct a previous caller, and shame on me for not knowing. I did know that it was the 300th game against Notre Dame. That was it. But what they're doing in commemoration of the 300th game at Pitt is that there are $20 and 2 cent ticket offers in this celebration, which is when this thing first started for Pitt. So that is the ticket price. This is the first of the next 300, I suppose. But it's a big game nonetheless. So you can get in for $20.02 if you go to the Pete tonight. And if you don't, you can listen to it right here on The Fan. Back to the lines we go. Ralph in West Mifflin before we go to our first break. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
Hey, Bob. Doing well. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, so I was just, I mean, I know it's not the Steelers' way. It's actually completely opposite. But I just think that it's at least worth kicking the tires on talking to the Bears, and not for Fields, but to see what they'd want for the first round, for the first overall pick, I should say. It's pretty clear to me that in the NFL, you're not going to win without a quarterback, and they keep trying to take half measures to solve their quarterback issue. And it's not going to get done unless you pretty much flame out and get a top five draft pick, which they're clearly not going to do. So I just wanted to get your thoughts and opinions on that.
Well, I don't think there's any way that's going to happen, because the price would be really from going from 20 to 1, you're going to have to give up a lot more than probably the Steelers want. But to your point about you need these kinds of quarterbacks, absolutely you do. And the Steelers felt they had one and still may feel that way, even though it's taking a little longer to see some of the results. So that would go way out of context for me, for them, way out of their comfort zone. That doesn't mean it's a bad decision. But you're asking what the price would be. Let me check on some of, you know, recent trade ups and what it has cost, because it's a big number. I'm not so sure. Which of these quarterbacks would you take anyway? We've seen a lot of draft failures in the top 10 of the NFL draft in quarterbacks. It's not an easy thing to do. And if you do it and you miss there, now you're giving up your entire future. You don't have a quarterback. You're still searching for answers. I think they're going to try to do whatever they can, which is why Arthur Smith is here now. His job will try to get the best out of this offense, specifically with Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph or whomever is in there. But they have a lot of work to do in that department. Ralph, thanks. Appreciate the call. We're up against a break. We're going to take it right now. It's 412-928-9370. You have an opportunity. They're your opinions. Do it right now here on The Fan. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about all of these topics, including Henry Davis. We haven't had one yet on that. And we're talking about number one picks that haven't panned out. It's early in his career, so I don't want to look at this like it's going to be a failure. But when you take the number one overall pick, what was that draft? 3 years ago? Is it three? Yeah, I think 3 years ago. You would expect him to be up here, number one, and you designate a position for him, which was supposed to be catcher, but again, he's not even listed on their depth chart. So I don't know where that stands. I'd like to hear from you at 412-928-9370. We are just getting rolling until 1 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back. 412-928-9370. Call that number. By the way, Larry Richard is once again hosting the Feed the Need variety show to raise funds for the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. It's March the 1st at Oaks Theater in Oakmont, 7:30 p.m. Performances from Kiki, Joe Starkey, Alista, and Bubba. Tickets available now at 93.7thefan.com with all the proceeds going to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. We thank Larry. He always gets involved with anything locally, does a great job. And so an array of talent. I'm anxious to see what Joe Starkey will sing because he normally sings. And Jaromir Jagr happens to be at Penguin practice today, and now he's on the ice skating with them. And potentially he could be inserted into the lineup on the power play this coming weekend against the Kings. Why not? Boy, wouldn't that be a nice retirement jersey? Raise it. Bring it down, have him go back into it, and then skate on the power play. He can't be worse right now, can he, Nate?
No, he sure can't. And I've seen him do amazing things on one leg before.
Well, that should be fun tomorrow to watch it all unfold. But again, the most important thing for the Penguins beyond that is you got to win a hockey game. You got to get 2 points no matter how you get them. This is not a conference opponent. So it is... regardless of shootout win, overtime, any kind of win you get, you need the 2 points when you're down in the standings like this, because a team like Philly's not relenting, it looks like. They're a rebuild, but they're playing very well, and they occupy the third place in the Metro. The wild card, you know, could be attainable, but again, you're going to have to start winning some of these Eastern Conference games. 412-928-9370. Before we go back to the phone lines, I want to answer a question that one of the previous callers brought up about what it would take to get a number one overall pick if you reside in the current 20th position. So Nate Aluschak has done some homework here, and I said, Nate, can you dig out some information concerning what it would take? Because you'd have to, and I knew it'd be multiple picks, a lot of picks. What would most likely be the cost if you called the Bears, say you were talking about Justin Fields, it didn't work, say, okay, what would it cost to get the number one overall pick from where we sit? What would they have to give up?
So Jimmy Johnson, a long time ago, created this draft capital value based on like how much a pick is worth, essentially based on their opinion of it. And the number one overall pick of any draft is considered is 3,000 points. That's what the number one pick is considered. So to acquire that, the Steelers, just for a point of reference, they pick 20th. That pick is assigned 850 points. And the last pick of the draft is 590 points. So a first-round pick can range between 3,000 and 590 points, essentially. So if the Steelers would want to move from the 20th position, which is around 850 points, up to number one, they're going to have to give up essentially three first-round draft picks that are in the top 20, and they can't guarantee the next couple of years where they're going to finish, but that three first-round picks is probably what's going
to
take.
Yeah, probably more, too. And if I'm Chicago, I would ask for a ton more. If someone's that desperate to come up to me, they're going to pay the price to do it, and I wouldn't trade it anyway.
Yeah, and the drop-off is pretty big. After that, after the first round, you're looking at the Steelers' second pick, the 51st pick. That value is only about 390 points. So it's not like you're going to make up these points this year. These are, you're going to have to trade draft picks multiple years down the line. That's an investment that's just not for one season.
And here's the thing. If it doesn't work, now you're really screwed because you have nothing coming in and you're going to have to be digging out forever. So that's why that is not even a possibility at this point. However, if I was Chicago, I may double down on Justin Fields. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about this. They think he's automatically going to be a traitor. He felt that way at his final press conference. He kind of said goodbye to all Chicago people. But if he's 24 and there's an intriguing amount of talent there, you have the number one overall pick. You know, it doesn't mean you can't draft another quarterback and load up in that department. Or you can trade down, acquire more picks, and build around Justin Fields. I would be tempted to do that. I think I found someone who's a very talented kid. He just needs to protect the football better. And if you give him weapons, that offense could take off. And I would not be against that if I were a Chicago Bears fan. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to the lines again. We got Rich in Forest Hills. Hello, Rich. Welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show. How are you this day?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Who'd you rather have on the power play tonight, Kessel or Jagr for a cameo?
I'm telling you, he's on the ice. I wouldn't be – I bet you, you know, he's still playing over there. He could probably get on the ice and just skate on a power play and do something.
Reports out of Vancouver were that they were about ready to administer CPR to Kessel after he skated for 45 seconds. So that'll be interesting to see.
They don't need need Phil Kessel. They have enough talent on that team.
Well, I give it to Rutherford for kicking the tires.
Sure.
Rutherford's an example of you don't realize what you have until you lose them. I mean, I think we're struggling here. That said, you know, Rutherford's got his fingerprints on some of the Penguins' current problems. You know, Hextall was obviously a disaster. But I think they made their choice about Gensel whenever they re-signed Malkin. You know, falling in love with these aging superstars is just the trap to avoid. You know, there's no reason to sign the guy. In my opinion,
you're talking about Malkin.
Malkin, yeah. Right?
Well, they should have traded him a long time ago. There was a market for him, a big market, I thought. At some point, you have to start thinking about the future. You don't have to just go through a complete rebuild. But along the way, you can fine tune, bring some people in, and keep this thing moving. So they chose to go the other direction. And the other thing, Rich, I think a part of this is it's financial. They need ticket sales. They need people to fill that building up and to make sales on other things when they're in there.
First of all, I agree with you. I would have traded Malkin 5 years ago. I'm on record for saying that this isn't just a thought I'm having today after, a Monday morning quarterback session. But I don't know that Malkin drives that sort of revenue for this team. I think this notion of we've got two great centers has just been the topic for them forever. And obviously Jeff Carter was a disaster. John Marino, signing into that contract and then that contract forcing you to trade him, he's become a number one defenseman.
They could certainly use him back for sure.
There's just a myriad of problems here. And the sooner they realize that they're not getting, we're going to keep the core together, the better. I mean, this is just an ongoing thing. They really should trade Gensel, probably Peterson, probably take their lumps next year, hope Sid's good for another couple of years. Trading Gensel doesn't prohibit you from re-signing him either. It doesn't mean that he's out the door. I mean, there have been lots of examples of players.
Right, you're saying trade him, get some assets back, and then in the offseason, if he doesn't find something, or you jump back in and say, okay, we will sign you.
Yeah, I mean, and it's familiar to him here, right? And if they think that they're going to just run the rest of the season with him, not trade him, not get anything out of it for him, and risk losing him to free agency, what's the difference? They're not going to make the playoffs. And I read a comment from a reader in one of the blogs the other day. It said, why not trade Jari to somebody like the Kings that are really desperate for a goalie? He gets some high quality guys back, lower round draft pick, but then you've got this number two guy who's on the cheap. He's got this AHL guy who's on the rise, and again, you've just remodeled your roster with less expensive versions of what you have. The simple fact is they're not getting out of this bind anytime soon, and they're not getting into the playoffs. They've got to think outside this box, and I'm sure Kyle Dubas is listening to my every word, taking notes. But
we're gonna find out what he's made of at this deadline here. Thanks, Rich, for the call. I do agree that they got it's a long. Not can they get in the playoffs? Sure, they do have games in hand. I'm not going to go a blanket statement. They're not going to get in. Are they playing like a playoff team? Absolutely not. However, they are 5 points out of the second wild card, which is currently occupied by Detroit, and they have two games in hand on them. They also have 5 games in hand on the Philadelphia Flyers. Now, you got to do something with those games. You can't just say, well, we have games in hand, you got to win them. If you do that, you cut their deficit from 10 to 2, but you got to win them. And there's some head-to-head battles, and the Flyers look like they're still playing a pretty good brand of hockey. So we'll see what we see. Counselor joins us right now. He's on the hotline. What's up, Counselor?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
What's up?
I just heard that rumor. I don't know if you heard it, that they may start Henry Davis in AAA.
Yeah, I've heard that. I'd be disappointed by that.
Yeah. And here's my point. I don't understand if they didn't think he could be an everyday catcher. then why didn't you have him playing outfield in winter ball? You need a third outfielder. I don't believe they have anybody, even in the minors, that's close to being able to play the outfield.
Well, they have more outfield platoon people than they do, like, people you can put in every day. To me, and thanks for the call, Counselor, I'm up against the break, but I appreciate your thoughts there. I really believe that Henry Davis, if he's not a catcher, that dude better hit 35 to 40 home runs every year, because you cannot justify a number one overall pick for a guy who can't play a position. I'm sorry. Unless he hits 35 to 40 home runs every year. If he's that guy, fine. You have a designated hitter. That's your role for him. But if it doesn't happen that way and he can't find his way onto the field, he's got a good arm. He's a strong dude. He can hit for a long, prodigious blasts. But he's got to be able to me, if you have him behind the plate as an everyday catcher and he provides you with offense, that is a plus. You have something on the rest of the league. Not many people have that asset. But if he's relegated to being a platoon outfielder or a DH, then he better hit, or else that's going to be looked at as a very bad pick. It's too early to make that distinction, but, you know, they got to get much more out of what they've gotten. And if he starts in AAA, this is 3 years after he's a number one overall pick, to me that's a disappointing development. We got to take a break. Mick and Moon, you'll be first up. Hang on with me at 412-928-9370. Want to thank our sponsors once again. This is Auto Show weekend, so you want to check out what number one Cochran's doing 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. There's a lot going on there. They have 19 dealerships. They got tremendous inventory. They even buy cars. You can sell yours to them. All this stuff going on with number one Cochran. We'll take a break. Come back with more right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, anchored by Nathan Haluschek on 93.7 The Fan. We are rolling along here on a snowy Saturday, although that snow came a little earlier than expected, and the roads are fine. They pretty much were fine. It was kind of that heavy snow, but kind of nice atmospheric snow, considering we had only 10 inches of snow all season long, so people doubled up on that, or at least went 50% of it. And we'll have the weather coming up at the end of the hour here for you moving forward. In the meantime, it's open lines until 1 o'clock, 412-928-9370. Thank you to PNC Bank for being one of our big sponsors. We appreciate it. Make today the day at PNC Bank. Number one Cochran. That's where you got to go to ride in style. They have 19 different dealerships. Number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway, Cochran.com. And Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. You can call us every night on KDK Plus, or some nights, most nights, right here on 93.7 The Fan. Ireland Contracting is the home of the sports call. Remember that, because it doesn't change. It's seven nights a week. We're always there talking about sports, regardless of what sport you're talking about. Also, we have Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. And Shandorovich and Fishman. Right now, we're going back to the phone lines. Mick and Moon, as promised, is next up. What's up, Mick?
Hi, Bob. Pirates say one thing and do another. Okay. They know they're not going to contend for division and probably not a playoff. They're hoping to play 500 or maybe a few games over. But you're bringing back, I could see having McCutcheon on the team if you were like going for, you know, had a chance to win the division or something. The guy, and since he left Pittsburgh, a 247 hitter. I mean, he's, you know, he just hanging around. And you're taking the bats away from guys like Davis. Cruz is going to have to DH some this year because, you know, coming back from injury, and various other players. And I'm going to ask you a question. If he had 270 home runs instead of 299, would the Pirates brought him and bring him back?
The likely answer to that is no. He needs one. I think if he had gotten it last year, he might have retired. I don't know. I don't have a problem, though, with him being back, Mick, only because it really doesn't cost that much given Major League Baseball salaries. And he is a good influence on this team and these players. And he still has some swings in him. So I don't have a problem with that. I would have a problem if they play him a lot over somebody who I thought should have more playing time. All right, sir. Thank you for the call. Mark in Oakland joins us right now at 412-928-9370. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Bob. How you doing there?
Good, thanks.
Good. Hey, my statement on Yarmer Yager, I think he's probably the third best offensive player that ever played a game behind Gretzky and Lemieux. I think. Go ahead.
No, I didn't say anything. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. I think Yarmir Yager, based on what he's done, if you stretch it out over his entire career, of course, it's a pretty good amount of points that he's put up. And the fact that he had 11 years in Pittsburgh and won five scoring titles here says a lot.
And the thing about Yager, it's almost a shame he didn't play in this era, because I don't think the way he held the puck, he can hold the puck against players that cross-checked him in the back. If he'd have played in an era like this, I really think he would have won the scoring title now also. I think Yager could have, he would have been dominating now, because I think he's even he's better at controlling the puck than Crosby. So I don't know any defenseman now could even have handled him.
Yeah, I think that those two guys are probably the two best at puck protection that I've seen watching hockey over all the years I've watched hockey. Yager was just, if you go back to and watch what he did and how he did it, I guess the Chicago, there are a lot of goals that stand out to me, but the one in Chicago, or the one here in game one of the Stanley Cup final against the Blackhawks, where he just weaved his way in and out. Nobody could do anything. He goes backhand and scores, and that was such a huge goal and what it meant to the Penguins. But he was like that a lot. I mean, he had such a physique that it was hard to get near the puck, let alone take it away.
Hey, Bob, can I say something about the Pirates?
Sure.
The one thing I've always said about, like, you know, they say, like, Henry Davis, he might be a flop, or this guy might be a flop. The one thing I always said, it goes back to Nutting, and the reason why I'm going to say this is because if I was Nutting, and I don't want to spend money on my team as much, go and get better scouts. Overpay for scouts. Go into organizations like Tampa Bay, into Cleveland, into like places that don't spend a lot of money but have great scouts, and overpay for scouts. Go and say, hey Joe, how much you get for this organization? I'll give you $1 million. Like they have to. If you're not going to spend money at the major league level, you go and get good scouts. And then they're the guys that can go and see talent and know talent.
I think it's one of the secrets to Tampa's success, for sure. Thank you for the call, Mark. I think it's a good point. There is no salary cap on what you can spend on these coaches, so just spend it. Get more eyes on people. Get more people who you can rely on, people who've had success in that department. I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. You're trying to just bring in talent. It doesn't have to be first-round talent either. It has to be talent. In baseball, you can come up from it with all different positions. And there are success stories from people who've been drafted in the 30th round, for goodness sakes. So, given the wide span, the global pursuit of talent that there is out there, I think the more talent you have in your scouting department can help you. 412-928-9370. I also want to throw out the draft order. We had someone tweet me on this, wondering about New England. Well, New England, it's fourth overall. Coming off their 4-13 season, they have a situation in hand with Mac Jones as their quarterback. So they're going to likely move on from him, Nathan. The question is, what happens to Mac Jones? Now, I've seen enough of Mac Jones to know he's never going to be able to be a franchise quarterback. Can he be somebody as a backup who could come in young enough? He's had experience enough. If he fell in that category, do you think that would be interest to a team like the Steelers?
Well, I know Tomlin loves his Alabama guys, so that would definitely be on the radar. But I don't think it would be a good step in the right direction. I think you kind of saw what you're going to get from him in New England. And I don't think the Steelers have an offense that he can step into and have a lot of success right away with.
Yeah. So just to answer the guy on Twitter who asked me, Carolina, it's amazing. With Carolina had the number one pick, and they traded it to Chicago before they knew they had the number one pick, but Chicago gets it. Then it's Washington 2, New England 3, Arizona 4, the Chargers at 5th. They've been a disappointment over the years, given the talent they've had on offense. Then it's the Giants 6, the Titans 7, Falcons 8. That's a team that, you know, I look at Justin Fields, and if they're going to make a trade, I would think that Atlanta would be very highly interested in him. The Bears also have the 9th pick. This is what I was talking about with doubling down if you're Chicago. You have the 1st and 9th picks. If you trade that number one, if you're committed to Justin Fields, let's say you decide you don't want to take a quarterback, you can trade that number one down to so many teams that need it. Get additional 1st-round picks or 2nd-round picks. Load up and surround Justin Fields with the Marvin Harrisons of the world, with people who can make a difference to him and them. I think that's probably a very smart strategy if you're them. Other than, I don't know what you're going to get for Justin Fields. To me, if you trade him, now you bring in a new quarterback. If that quarterback doesn't work, you're in the same exact boat. Now, you better hope it works. But I think I've seen enough from him to know that I could count on him to be someone I can work with moving forward. So we'll see. 412-928-9370. Yager's on the ice with the Penguins at practice. Some believe he still can play on the power play at age 52. Why not? Just celebrated a birthday. He's been skating overseas. We won't see him there. We will see him pregame tomorrow when they have a big celebration and raising the banner, the shirt, the jerseys going up in the rafters next to number 66. 412-928-9370 is the number. Call until 1 o'clock. We'll take those calls, open lines. In the meantime, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Check out special financing for qualified buyers on new Silverado 1500 trucks today. Cloudy, breezy, couple of flurries. High of 30, so it's going to be colder tonight. Low in the 20s, partly cloudy, breezy. Tomorrow, winds, intervals of clouds and sunshine, 39 degrees for your high temperature. We have hour number two coming up. Want to hear from you on the Penguins' struggles. What do they need to do with the trade deadline? What should Kyle Dubas do? What's the quarterback room look for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Henry Davis, what's going to happen to him? Will he be on the roster this year? And also, I'll throw out Tiger Woods, who had to withdraw from another tournament. And Tiger Woods, will he ever win a tournament again? I hate to say that. He's 48. He should. But given all the physical situation he's dealing with, and this was not related to that. This was a dehydration flu situation, but still had to withdraw. He doesn't play an awful lot. We'll talk about it when we continue. This is the Bob Pompiania Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.